And good evening, everyone. Welcome to training camp here in St. Joe at Missouri Western State University. I got some help tonight. After going solo three nights in a row, we bring the snapper back. Welcome back to camp, brother.
It's good to be here. I was in Las Vegas. What happens there stays there. However, what happens in St. Joe does not stay there. It comes to you each and every night. So that's why I'm back, and I'm excited.
And he was in Vegas because his son is a D1 baller. Let's just put it that way. Blaze Gammon. You can look him up, but he has a bright future in college basketball. Speaking of bright future, we've talked about the energy here in St. Joe. Okay, interesting day today. The pads went back on. It rained early in the morning, so some thought, going to stay indoors or go outside? The Chiefs go outside. It was season ticket holder day here. Clark Hunt out making pancakes along with Mark Donovan and everybody else for a lot of season ticket holders. What about the decision for Andy Reid to go pads and to stay outside?
Well, I think it's interesting. And Mitch, you and I have talked about in the fact of lots of times in camp, you like for it to be hot and you test them how they concentrate and how they deal with things. Well, in the rain, you've got to deal with the concentration as well because it wasn't awful out there. It was more of a nuisance a little bit. The fields are in great condition, like Coach Reid talked about coming up here. So it does test your concentration as a team and how you deal with things. And I thought they did a good job. Great energy on the field today. Season ticket holder, that's a big deal, and I was glad they were able to get out there because the fact is, it does rain in the NFL sometimes. You've got to play these games. I can't tell you how many I played, and the fact is, you've got to deal with it.
Honestly, it felt more like weather of NBA training camp than NFL training camp, but they decided to hit and hit some more. Last night, I promised you that Andy Reid promised it was going to be amped up more today. There were instances it was like a full-on scrimmage. They were taking guys down today during one of the team periods.
Yeah, I like that also, Mitch, because the fact is they're doing a little bit of that each and every day. It's not every two or three days, so now you're getting that. One thing that's talked about a lot, I think, and you've talked about it too, is sometimes tackling's a lost art in the NFL because I don't think that it always gets taught the best in college. So if you can't do it then and you get here, so now you reinforce it each and every day, and the fact is, we all knew it's going to be a physical camp. You want to see how these guys respond, and I like it. I like Andy Reid. I like the energy of the camp, and for me, being out there the first day today, it was awesome.
It was a pilgrimage of a lot of season ticket holders here today, battling the elements and the cool weather here in St. Joe. They got treated again to pancakes and a special breakfast for them, and a lot of you watching tonight were here to enjoy it. Well, the chairman was here. Clark Hunt was here, not only making pancakes, but watching this football team very closely, and he had a chance to comment on what he saw today and in the other days he's been here at camp.
It's been a tremendous camp. You know, watching the practice today was a lot of fun. It was more like watching a game than it was watching a practice. 20, 30 or so live plays and a bunch of 11-on-11. Probably the biggest difference is I spend more time talking to the head coach. Andy and I, you know, we speak frequently. I still have a lot of interaction with the general manager, with John, but I have interaction with both of them. They're both very bright football people and also great human beings, and it's just very enjoyable to talk to them, you know, whether it's about what's going on with the football team or what's going on in life. Andy's great in sharing information and letting me know what's going on and what his plans are for practices. John stays very much on top of the roster and the depth chart. Well, I feel great about the football team. There's a lot of excitement about the team, about Andy, about Alex Smith. We had a lot of our season ticket holders out this morning, and it was great talking to them and hearing their enthusiasm for the season. So I feel confident like everybody. There's still a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of opportunity for improvement. That'll take place over the next 3 or 4 weeks. You know, here in a couple of weeks, we'll be playing preseason games, and they're going to tackle to the ground. And I think from a conditioning standpoint, it's valuable. I think probably from an execution standpoint, it's also valuable. But I will say there are a few times out there where you hold your breath, and you hope the back or the receiver, whoever gets tackled, you hope they pop up. Today it looked like we got through the practice fine without any additional injuries, and hopefully by the time we get to Jacksonville, we're ready to go.
Clark Hunt wasn't the only one nervous in watching some of those plays today. You and I were standing there side by side. You see Jamal Charles go down in the secondary like that, and you're thinking, make sure he gets up. But there's always, you always hold your breath a little bit when you see that kind of hitting and tackling all the way to the ground.
I agree, and you know, Clark talked about it. It's an interesting perspective, and it's the truth. It's, you do hold your breath sometimes, but you know what? It is football. You can't get away from that. No matter how much you try to do to protect everything, the fact is you've got to get ready to play on Sundays. So It's part of it. Again, I keep going back to the fact of I think it's the type of camp that Coach Reed wants to run, and I think it's good for it. I think when everybody knows that you're going at this tempo, which is full go, I honestly think you have less of a chance of getting hurt because everybody knows to be ready and go after things, and I just think it prepares you as a team.
If there's one guy that doesn't mind having that kind of contact, it's Jamal Charles. He is tougher than a leather strap, and he's proven that since he came into the league in 2008. A guy that came in the league in 2006. You know, last night on the show, I had Derek Johnson. We were talking about his perspective. He's been around longer than anybody on this, with the Chiefs, anybody on this roster. Now I want to ask you about Tamba Hali, because he's in the next year's class, a 2006 first-round pick. Perspective, growth. And now he enters a new phase being coached by Andy Reid. What do you see from Tamba Hali?
You know what, Tom is another former teammate of mine, and I've just watched him grow up. Not that he was ever immature, but he was quiet, and he's still quiet. But you can see he takes that attitude that the, you know, a lot of the leadership is on him. It's a quiet leadership, but he does talk. And then you see his actions out on the field, Mitch, and just it's that full motor. Day in, day out, week in, season out. That's why he's a Pro Bowler. And when you do that all the time, you're rewarded for it. And I think he's doing a great job. I think when you get up into that 8, 9, 10 year range of being a player, you really start to learn some tricks of the trade and you just become a little bit crafty. So I like what he's doing for the team. And it's interesting to me because I think he recognizes that there's a lot of pieces on the defensive side of the ball that can help him a lot.
Well, Tamba had a chance to talk to us after practice as well as the other media. And for Tamba, there's a reoccurring theme here, and we've talked about it every night on Chiefs Live. With Andy Reid, once you get up off the pillow, there is no wasted time in this camp.
What are some of the biggest differences you see in the way Andy Reid runs his camp as opposed to some other coaches you get?
Well, we're not wasting time on the field. We're not standing around on the field. We're coming out, we're executing, we're doing what we got to do, more team-oriented. We do spend some time individually, but this game is played with, you know, with, we have teams, special team, defense, offense, those are all teams, and we spend more time installing and getting on the field and getting off the field and, you know, more productive.
Have you had a physical training camp like this one's been so far as hitting live and all that? So, I mean, have you done that yet?
Well, yeah. I think in past years we've been physical. I think their approach is smarter. It's more productive. Our first couple of days, you know, there was no reason to come out here, throw the pads on, and start getting guys injured. He eased into it, and, you know, the guys are, you know, as you can see, they're enjoying themselves, having fun, but as far as hitting, we've had camps out here where coaches just wants to, you know, destroy our body. I think his approach is, you know, it's for the long run.
Kendall, this defense is confident. Derek Johnson said last night on Chiefs Live that he thinks it's as confident as any defense that he has seen as a Chief. And again, he's got perspective going back to the 2005 season. Tamba also kind of exudes that confidence, but what about the confidence that they have in the guys in front of them and the guys behind them?
Well, that is huge, Mitch, because as a player and as a quote-unquote leader or star player, you're trying to make each and every play all the time. And sometimes if you don't have that confidence to the right or the left of you or to the in front of you or in back of you, you start to get nose problems. You start to stick your nose into places that it doesn't belong. And now all of a sudden you can create gaps in the defense or make mistakes of that sort. But when you have that confidence all around you and you feel like you're working as a unit, that's when the defense gets to where it wants to be and where it can attack, and you can feel like you can just let yourself and go play. You know, it's that unconscious competence. You do what you're supposed to do without thinking about it because you've repped it so hard on the field each and every day.
Interesting you say that, because Tamba Hali was asked about the guys up front, most notably Tyson Jackson and Dontari Poe, and if Tamba is seeing the improvement on those guys in front of him.
Dontari was drafted last year. Tyson's had some troubles and struggles. Where are those guys at as far as what have you seen from them as far as improving thus far with the team? Did Dontari make big strides through the year last year, and everybody's still waiting for Tyson to take that next big step?
You know, to answer your question is, what are you guys looking for? Because I think these guys are awesome to me, and they've helped me have success in this league. And but, you know, I don't know how to answer your question. If you're looking for more production in the sack area, more production in the tackle area, so I don't, to answer your question, From the standpoint of being their teammates and playing along with them, those guys work tremendously to allow guys like Justin and I to make plays. So, you know, the criticism where you guys, I don't know what you're looking for. If you're looking for more sacks from them, and then I guess you guys know the answer to that. But as far as players, to me, those guys work hard, and I want to continue to work with them.
Interesting comments there from Tom Bahali. And again, we appreciate, we got more people watching Chiefs Live than ever before, and we love it when we get questions. And so one of them that has come in tonight is about Derek Johnson. And is he, well, we're talking about leadership, and we talked to him last night, but when you see Tomba's comments too, I get the sense from Derek, he's gone to another place, a good place, and he is serious about leading this team. And you see Tomba now showing a little bit more leadership and acting differently than he has in the past.
There's no question about it. Even if you don't see how Tomba, if you can't hear Tomba talking, just the body positioning and how he's holding himself to me is different. And Derek, there's no doubt about it too. Another former teammate of mine, he continues to grow and get better and better and take on that leadership role. And that's what you want, especially from a linebacker in the middle, because those are the guys, they're like the QB on the offensive side of the ball. So that's a good thing.
You see some of the linebackers, but this little piece, now you're a gadget guy. You love technology,
I love it.
And you
Absolutely.
Love gadgets. This is the GoPro. Yep, you can wear it up on the head, done that before. You can wear it, you know, do it this way. But the GoPro is a cool little thing to shoot during practice. While we're talking defense, just enjoy a GoPro look at some of the drills run by some defensive players. We'll see some wide receivers too, but we're focusing on linebackers tonight. Well, take a look at what the linebackers see when they're at practice. GoPro. I got to bring you back, man, because you got
I would have loved to have had that on my helmet. You would have saw the hands, you would have saw the ball, and then you would have saw the sky. But that's part of my job.
Well, we're going to bring it to you a lot here on Chiefs Live. The last two nights we brought you the GoPro look. The other look we're going to bring to you is Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator. Interesting career with Bob. We talked about him in the offseason. Longtime head coach of Army, one of Army's, probably the second best head coach in Army behind the famous Red Blake. A lot of time with the Jets. Now he's back at calling defenses, wants to be very aggressive. Your sense from Bob Sutton and what you've seen early in camp?
You know what? It's an attacking defense. He's talked about it. I think you're going to see shifting movement, try to confuse the offense when you can. I think lots of times you're looking for mismatches, and not just one-on-one mismatches, but with the personnel and how you shift things, all of a sudden getting a 4-on-3 somewhere. When we're talking about that, maybe you know the offensive line and the shift, or rather the set that you have to begin with, has the offensive line shifting to the right, and all of a sudden you bring four to the left and you put them one down, and now you make the bet that we can get to the QB quicker than you can find the hot route. When you do things like that, you take calculated risk. Remember, I was in Vegas, so you take calculated risk, and you're ready to get things going there from a defensive standpoint. Now that, along with the fact that you completely upgraded the defensive backfield, in my mind, makes a huge difference as well. So I like it. I'm excited to see more and more with it. You're not going to see it all until opening day at Jacksonville, but you're going to see a lot of it because you've got to practice it. But there's always a few wrinkles up the sleeve.
I've said this every day. They're coming. You don't know where they're coming from, but they are coming. And Bob Sutton may look like a professor, but he's ready to kind of push the buttons and send these guys.
As a coaching staff working with your team, what do you do to try to create more turnovers?
I think it's how you play. That's what I mean. You fly to the ball. You always assume that the ball's going to come out. You know, we had a couple examples today. You know, the ball goes down the field. Just because a pass is completed or a runner breaks through doesn't mean the play's over. And you want to always pursue the football with the idea you're going there with intention. We're not running towards it. We're running there to get there to clean up the play, to secure the tackle. And if the ball's out, we want to be there. You know, we don't want to be one of the next time. Well, next time we're going to go a little harder. No, you got to do that every time. You know, it's a habit. And, you know, as we tell the players all the time, you're not going to turn that up on game day. You're either going to do that every play or it's not going to happen when you most need it.
I've always admired this guy, watching him from afar, and now he is here and going to see how he kind of leads this defense and, again, pushing the buttons. Well, one button you have to push, you mentioned the upgraded corner, Sean Smith, the most coveted free agent in the National Football League this year, coming from the Dolphins to the Kansas City Chiefs. And for Sean Smith, he becomes big, a great compliment. You know, bigger players, a bigger corner, reminds you of those guys that Seattle has. But with Sean Smith, what does he mean to this defense and how aggressive it can be?
Well, you talk about the aggressive part of it, and then we talked about that before we went to the interview with Coach Sutton. The fact is, if you can put him out there and he can be aggressive one-on-one and he can get in that stance right up on the line, now you can get that one-on-one there, you can attack. It just gives you so many more opportunities when you've got that corner out there that you feel like you can put on one-on-one and do some good things. I saw him come up today. I like the fact, I'm not worried about his coverage skills. I was curious about his tackling skills. I saw him come up today and fill the alley really, really well on some run plays, and I like that as well. Again, that attacking, physical style of defense, a very, very good thing.
There's an underlying theme here. Andy Reid brings quality assistants. They want to be with Andy Reid. And when you get guys like that, players want to play for them. I mentioned this a little bit last night when we were looking at the defensive backs. But you got two guys, Emmett Thomas, a Hall of Famer, a Chiefs Hall of Famer, a Chiefs World Champion, and Al Harris, who I loved as a player when he was with Green Bay. And for Sean Smith to make the decision to come to Kansas City, seemed like all of those factors came into play.
How do you feel now?
I feel great, man. I feel great. It's a great day to be a Chief. But no, you know, it was just kind of, you know, kind of surreal, you know, seeing that different uniform, you know, being in Miami for 4 years. So, you know, to put the red on and, you know, it's a new feeling, but I definitely love it. I'm happy to be here and couldn't be more happier.
You and Brandon Flowers, I mean, what kind of comment is, I mean, that right corner was such a revolving door last year. Just how do you see you guys making it tough on him?
I think it's great. You know, I think one of the biggest things for us is, you know, we both bring something different to the table. You know, Brandon's a very quick guy. You know, he's very quick hips and, you know, I mean, can break or react on anything. And, you know, I'm more physical and, like, using my hands at the line of scrimmage and play bump and run. So when it comes to matchups, I think Coach Sutton has a wide variety of defensive backs and different schemes he can use to match up against different opponents.
When it comes to tackling, the hitting in practice, is that a departure from what you guys did in Miami, or did you do it this quickly?
Nah, I mean, tackling is something, you know, this is football. You know, it's going to happen. You know, whenever this pass on, it's going to be contact, and you have to know that going in. And
but in practice, when you see Jamal Charles running at you, is it, I mean, do you hit him full speed? Or
do you hit Jamal Charles full speed? I mean, if the drill is live, then, yeah, you have to. I mean, you definitely want to take care of your, you know, your teammates. You don't want to, you know, take any cheap shots or anything like that. But, you know, this is football. You know, if we don't hit them, somebody else is. So, like I said, you know, we have a game in a few weeks, and, you know, we're starting this thing early, and Coach wants us to be physical and fly around, so that's what we have to do.
For a corner in this league today, how important is it for you to have two guys coaching you who have been on the corner, one all the way to the Hall of Fame?
I mean, it's great, like I said. I don't think there's a better pair of cornerback coaches in the NFL right now. I mean, like I said, you have Emmett Thomas and Al Harris, you know, both coaching you. Al's a guy who also played press corner, you know, his whole life. So, you know, you get to pick his brain and see how he would play different techniques. And like I said, playing against, but opposite of Brandon Flowers, you know, a guy who's, I think, is one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL right now, is definitely going to make me better as an individual.
Ooh, a good free agent get by the Kansas City Chiefs, who made some investment in this team in the offseason, particularly corners you alluded to with he and Robinson. Now I want to ask you about this. Again, appreciate your feedback. Want to kind of clean up the inbox before we go to break here. And one of the questions was about Tyson Hartman at safety. The former K-Stater played last year from Wichita. Mentioned him a little bit last night at a Cape in high school, so he grew up in the Kingdom. He's getting a lot of reps now, both on special teams and with the twos, when you see him out there. Now, it's a battle. There are 18 defensive backs in this camp. It's going to be tough, but Tyson right now is tracking like he's going to compete.
Well, he is, and last year he got a lot of good reps and played a fair amount, but the fact is, you talked about it, special teams. He has to perform on special teams if he's going to make this team. Not getting on anybody, not saying anything bad about him, but the fact is, he's got to play special teams. And I'm going to tell you right now, with Dave Tobin talking to him, if you can play special teams on this team, somebody's going to bat for you, because special teams is important.
Yeah, to Tobe, he thinks about it 24/7. The other question that came in defensively is Austin Lane. Now, a lot of you don't know about Austin. He was signed by the Chiefs in just kind of at the beginning of camp, or a couple days before camp. Austin is an interesting guy. I mean, you look at him, he's a specimen. And I'm seeing him get reps. They're trying to figure out, is he on the defensive front? It could be a linebacker.
Right.
But he wears number 90 if you're going to come out and watch practice. He's also a guy to watch during the preseason games. The Jaguars cut him. But this guy is worth a watch.
He does have something to him. And what's going to happen with him is you're going to see him a lot in preseason, and that's where he's either going to make it or not make it. I'm seeing him get in more and more reps in practice from the last couple days till today and doing a good job one-on-ones. I thought he did a nice job as well. He's long. He looks the part. And he is definitely going to be a challenge. And that's good because the coaches all talk about it. The more competition you can get, the better the team is.
Well, you spent 15 years in this league, and most of those 15 years you had people trying to beat you out, coaches trying to get you beat out so you wouldn't make the team, and you kept fighting them off. When we come back, it starts a theme that we're going to have now every night, that they have a practice. Keep in mind, Wednesday night won't have a show. That's an off day for the players. Camp battles. Tough camp battles, and that's part of the National Football League with the Chiefs and the other 31 teams. We come back, we're going to look at inside linebackers. And the battle exists there for the starting inside linebacker spot. We'll be back with that after this.
This is a dorm room. But it's not an ordinary dorm room. Here, the lights are on at sunrise, and they're off at dark. Because at this school, the last thing you want to do is fail. This is Chiefs Training Camp at Missouri Western State University. Classes are now in session.
Mitch Holtz's voice of the Chiefs, back with the snapper, Kendall Gammon. Again, a soggy day here in St. Joe. It's also expected to rain throughout the evening, so that could put the Chiefs indoors tomorrow, but they're expected to go in pads. So if you're planning on attending practice tomorrow, you know, stay hooked up to kcchiefs.com and keep your ears on, if you will, because if the team goes inside, you're not going to be able to watch practice. But it's expected to rain a lot this week, so just stay on top of that. We're also going to stay on top of these camp battles, and one is an inside linebacker. And listen, this is a spot that a lot of fans are interested in because there are three Pro Bowlers now. If you go down the line, Justin Houston, he's a beast. And the way he started this camp,
Yes.
Derrick Johnson, Tom Bahali, we've talked about those three guys. Now the spot, the fourth spot, starter in the base 3-4 defense. I'm going to bring up two names to you here now, Akeem Jordan and Nico Johnson. Your thoughts on those two guys as they will battle for this slot?
Well, you've got a seasoned veteran who has familiarity already with Coach Andy Reid and Akeem Jordan. And then you've got Nico Johnson, who's drafted in the later rounds, but played at a big-time university, and the game's not too big for him. Both these guys going for that one position. And to me, this is kind of Sesame Street, because you talked about those three guys that are Pro Bowlers, and you don't want to be that fourth guy that they're saying one of these things is not like the other. You want to hold your end of the bargain up. So They're going to be competing each and every time. The big thing that I'm looking at is wanting to see from Nico if he can be a three-down backer. And I think Akeem Jordan can be a three-down backer. What I've seen from Akeem so far has been very, very good. And there's no question that he's where he needs to be right now starting. It'll be interesting to see as that progresses, because I don't care who you are, how big a program you played in, how many big games you played in college, it's still not the NFL. And you've got to adjust, and I think Nico will, but we're going to have to see it play out because we've only had a couple practices really pad-wise.
Akeem Jordan's interesting. He came into the league as an undrafted free agent out of a one FCS school in James Madison, a very good league, by the way, in the 1AA or FCS ranks. But he just kind of fought his way into a starting role in Philadelphia. He was a good player for Andy Reid there. A couple sacks, a couple forced fumbles. Didn't put up big numbers, but was a little better than a kind of a steady Eddie Freddy guy. And as you mentioned, in watching him, it looks like he can handle both the run and the coverage. But we talked about sending guys here. At this inside backer spot, if other guys are coming, the other linebackers, how important is it to kind of hold your ground, because you're going to have a lot of ground to cover?
Well, it's huge. You've got to talk about being the thumper sometimes in there, the guy who's going to take on the run. And again, if you are trying to create mismatches and you're bringing guys from all different angles and all of a sudden you're sending 56, you know, you've got to be, as a middle backer, able to take on the run. And then you've got to be able to defend the pass to a degree also. Now, most of the time, you hope that's going to be dropping back in some type of zone and being able to play on things, keeping things underneath you. But every once in a while, you're going to get matched up with a back. It's not a great matchup. You've got to be able to hold your own.
And there's some depth at this spot. That's kind of exciting to see that. You do have a battle with two guys here. Our Rachel Sanchi was able to brave the elements today and chase down Akeem Jordan in the rain to get some thoughts with the former Eagle, now a Chief.
Akeem, you worked with Coach Reid in Philadelphia. How is it working with him now in Kansas City?
I think it's the same tempo, same atmosphere, same everything.
Tell me about your relationship with Derek Johnson. How much do you have to be hand in glove with him?
You know, we got to communicate all the time, you know, on and off the field. Just letting each other know what's going on. Even if we ain't talking about nothing, just talk to each other. It helps out a lot.
How important is it to you to be a starter in this base defense?
It's important for the team, I guess. I just came here to play a role, and whatever role they give me, I'm going to try to do it to my fullest. Like I said, every time I get on the field, I take pride in what I do, regardless of where he's at, who is against. That's my mentality.
It's good to have this guy here, and you mentioned special teams. Dave Tobe likes this guy, too. I mean, we're going to see this guy a lot on the field, whether he's the starting inside backer or not. Now let's transition to Nico Johnson. He's got more rings than what? I mean, he played at Alabama. He's got all those national title rings. Interesting, he did start a lot at Alabama. If you go back and look at his statistics, put up some good numbers, had some high tackle numbers, but wasn't always starting with them in the base. But this is an impressive guy. What do you see with Nico? And he's thought to be the thumper, but there's some doubt of others outside the fort. Can he cover?
Well, and that's what we're going to have to find out. And you're not going to truly find that out until you get into preseason games. You're going to put him in all kinds of situations during training camp, but to go back to your former question, what do I think of him? This is a big, physical guy who runs well, plays the run, like I said, well. And when I talk about that, it's the angles he takes. I think he can run sideline to sideline very, very efficiently and make the plays. But again, he's got to recognize things. I saw Coach Gibbs walking through some things today in terms of technique and trying to show how you recognize if the guard blocks down as a backer, what you do. Do you step up and you take on that fullback? Things of that nature. It's all those little things that you've got to slowly assimilate. I say slowly. You can't slowly get them. You've got to do it quickly. But you've got to get all those things in your head. To me, his head is probably swimming now. I know he talked about the fact that maybe some things were a little bit more complicated to a degree at Alabama than here. But I think that's the fact that it was more, it was second nature there, because he talked about the fact I guess things were, the terminology is different. And as a rookie, you come in, most of the times, even if you're playing a 3-4 to a 3-4, if the terminology is different, it can start to get stuck in your head a little bit. But in all, I like the way he holds himself. I think he's going to be a great force in the locker room. And to me, he's doing all the right things.
The best piece of video I saw that we just showed you was the angle that he took, and you talk about angles, on an open field tackle against Anthony Sherman today, and chased him down like a lioness running down a gazelle. That was a good sign. Right here, angle, head is in the right position.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. I love that.
Yeah, I do too, buddy. Little things excite us, but that does excite us. Another exciting thing, we mentioned Rachel Sanchez. You're going to see her on the sideline during the preseason football games. You've seen her on Red and Gold. And our 65 TPT reporter also chased down Nico Johnson. Talk about a sharp guy. Just take a look and listen and make your own opinion.
So, Nico, you've been here for a week with some of the rookies and some of the quarterbacks. But what's it been like with the veterans here now? What's that experience been like?
Like I said before, the tempo has picked up a little bit, and everybody has been held to a higher standard than before. And the veterans just going out, you know, setting the tone and letting everybody know who's the leaders on the team. And everybody responding the same way with veterans or other veterans and the rookies. We just out here having fun and trying to get better.
How challenging has it been to receive a high volume of information and now put it into practice?
It's very challenging every day because it's something different than what I ran in college. But it's very challenging because it's a different style of defense for me. But day in, day out, you know, we're watching film with DJ and Tumba. So I'm getting better. All the rookies are getting better and so on. So, I mean, it's very challenging.
And as you said, it is different. But this position requires both physical against the run and cover against passes. So how do you feel you've adapted to that?
Being a run stopper is what I do best. And one thing I want to improve on is in coverage. And that's one thing I got a whole lot better at, you know, just watching DJ, talking to DJ, him giving me pointers on things I can add to my game to get better. But other than that, I feel like I improved a lot.
How important is it to you to be a starter right from the get-go, get out there on the field?
I wouldn't say it's important, but whatever role Coach Andy Reid gives me, I'm going to take it with everything I get and just take advantage of it. So, I mean, the only thing I can control is go out and do what I do best, and that's play football and just take what Coach gives me and do my best.
You can see why John Dorsey drafted this guy.
He's a sharp guy.
Yeah, and excited to see this battle going on. But look for both of these guys, both Akeem Jordan and Nico Johnson, to contribute to this team in a great way, whether they're the starting Mike backer or not in the base. All right, a couple questions before we close from you, and it deals with the defense. One, how has Dontari Poe improved in looking at him? What do you think?
You know what? He looks more confident to me, Mitch. I think a lot of that is the attacking defensive style because now you're not always two-gapping. You've got you've been told to go to one side or the other. And I'm going to tell you right now, Dontari Poe, he goes where he wants to go. I don't care. I mean, this is the NFL, but this guy is 350 and fluid, runs literally like a gazelle. He's big. He's powerful. We watched it last year. I think it was against maybe Carolina where he just bulldozed people back and went straight there. So I like what he's doing. I think he's going to be very solid on the run. I watched him get better the last half of the season. Where I think he has a chance to break out this season possibly is in the pass rush side of things because – he is a special kind of athlete.
One of the great things to watch during camp is the O-line, D-line when they go on single work because it's really a combination of wrestling and the MMA. Your footwork, trying to beat guys, get them off balance, and I've seen improvement from Dontari. He's working at his craft. The other thing I've seen him use is athleticism, to your point, spin moves. In that one-gap scheme, he's able to use that athleticism here a little bit. So you can see that he's taking care of himself in the offseason. You can see that he is working at his craft in both his hands and footwork and trying to win those one-on-one battles up front. Another question coming from you, and we'll get your thought on this. Where does the secondary of the Chiefs, where could it rank? Let's put it that way. What do you think of the secondary?
You know what? I think the secondary can be every bit of the top five if they do things. When you look at the people that are here, you've got two solid corners.
Top five in the league, you're saying?
I think top five in the league, yes. And you've got Dante Robinson that comes in as well. I think he's going to do a great job here. He'll either be the nickel or he may be on the edge, and you may put B. Flowers at the nickel in the slot area. And then you've got to figure out what you're going to do on the dime side of things. But, you know, to the point that we talked about earlier with Tama in terms of other players making you better, Dontari Poe is going to make him better doing things inside. The defensive line will help determine how good the secondary is because the pass rush and what they do, if they can help force the ball to come out quicker, that always makes the secondary look better as well.
I'm just going to put it this way. You've got pros there now. These are pros, not guys that want to be pros.
Right.
And trying to prove themselves. You got guys that have and continue to prove themselves. That's what I see from this group.
It's a sharp group, too. These guys, they've got a quiet confidence about them. I mean, you've got to be borderline close to that arrogance line to really play on a corner all the time. But they're right there true pros working hard. You said it. I mean, it is an impressive group.
Yeah, you put these guys on a horse in a Western, they're coming over the hills together. It's going to be fun to watch them. All right, tomorrow now we transition back to the offense, and one of the camp battles we're going to look at is the quarterback position. Alex Smith's the number one. Chase Daniels, the solid number two. Some of you ask about Chase. We'll get into that tomorrow night. But the third quarterback battle, Tyler Bray, Ricky Stanzi. We'll get into that tomorrow night. What do you think?
That's one of the best battles going on, and there's a lot.
Okay. Join us tomorrow night. He's the snapper, Kendall Gammon. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. We'll be right here in St. Joe, and we'll fight the elements, but we'll have it ready to go for you tomorrow night, including that third quarterback battle.